Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. And, of course, as always, we got our Hot Rod Happy Couple. Wait a minute. Smitty. Breezy. Smitty.
No.
Breezy.
Hey, over there.
Nope. Okay, Smitty and Breezy's out sick. I feel like I'm calling attendance. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
Guess who else called in sick?
Damn, Richard even called in sick?
Richard called in sick.
It's pretty
too.
Bad when the professor, I think he's a doctor, is sick.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think what it is he, he called in sick. Well, let's just go with that one.
Yeah, he's sick. I didn't know mentally ill was a reason, but
well,
okay.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but I'll try to keep it clean.
Leave it to me. I will say it. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller. Please be here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Kobe's here.
Over here.
Kobe is a trooper. Kobe is a trooper. Rain, snow, sleet, or hail, he's like the U.S. mail.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm telling you.
We always rolling.
I'm telling you. And that's the thing. You know, I mean, everybody don't feel good. I don't feel good. I don't want to go and shit. You see me the other week. I was sick, stuffy nose, had friggin' fever of 126. And did it slow me down? Nope.
Yeah, I was like that, about a month ago?
Exactly.
Pull through it. You got to pull through
it. You know, I mean, maybe it's that John Wayne mentality that we have, Kobe. I guess so. It must be that rough, tough thing we got.
It's the old school in us.
It is. You know, that whole, like, strike a match off your beard thing and all that.
Yeah,
we got that. I'm just saying. But anyway, I tell you what, we had some fun events this past weekend. Now, it's kind of funny. Yeah, we got to spread all over the map. Kobe, you got to go to Auto Fair. Now, Auto Fair is a fun event up in Charlotte.
It was.
Charlotte Motor Speedway.
It was. I was up there, spent several days up there. I had a blast looking at all the beautiful cars, great vendors, great people, socializing with fans, and just people in general. I mean, it's crazy when you're – I mean, when I say fans, it's kind of crazy, but you know how it is. Like, when you're walking around and people recognize you and was like, oh, you know, hey, how you doing? And
you're that guy.
Yeah, and asking questions and hung out with Dave from Toy Makers and hung out with
cool
several.
Guy.
Yeah,
cool guy.
Great guy.
I did not know he rode stunt bikes.
Yes, I've known that for years because back in the day I did ride sport bikes and I used to follow him a little bit back before YouTube was YouTube kind of. It was YouTube, but it was like, you know.
Pre-YouTube.
Yeah.
It wasn't cool.
Yeah, it wasn't popular like now, but he was on there, and then I seen him at a couple, you know, bike rally events. But, yeah, he's a very, very good stunt bike rider.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. All this time. The things you learn. And then, of course, me, Smitty, and Breezy were down to the Anderson Motor Speedway, the Charlotte Motor Speedway of L.A., Lower Anderson. for Back to Basics, you know, put on by Misperception Car Club. It was a fun import show. Had a great time. Had a huge, huge, huge turnout. Actually packed that place out. I tell you, you know, and these guys, you know, people joke and give the import guys a hard time, and I know I'm a diehard muscle car guy, but something you got to say is we all got to start somewhere. I mean, I remember back when I got in the car hobby, you know, I didn't start out with a Chevelle. I started out, you know, with my 5-liter Mustang, and I did dumb teenage kid stuff. These kids have got it together. I mean, they take pride in their rides, and they have a great time. They put on a great event.
Yeah, I seen pictures of y'all when y'all were posting down there. You know, of course, I was up there posting pictures, you know, sent them to you. We were going back and forth. And
I almost got ran over.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, we had a burnout contest, and I will tell you this. Them Coyote Mustangs will run you over. Yeah, those things, when they drops the clutch on them, they still kick sideways pretty hard. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. The host didn't die. That's all that mattered.
That's
the show went on. back to my rough, tough persona I got. You know what I'm saying? I get sideswiped by a Mustang, didn't even miss a beat, didn't even drop the mic.
You picked up your chuck and went on, didn't you?
Exactly. Exactly. Didn't even smudge my chucks. But we had a great time. Fun event. Saturday was absolutely gorgeous. Weather was spot on. And sure, when we didn't get, man, I didn't get home about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Whew.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if these kids got a curfew. I don't know about you, but I started getting a little sweepy about 11 o'clock.
I know I would have.
I'm telling you.
You know me. I'm an old guy. I like to be in bed by 10:30, 11 o'clock.
I'm going to tell you something. Matlock goes off, it's time to go to bed.
That's right.
You know, I'm just saying. That 10 o'clock news, that's the best thing ever, because I never made it to 11.
Nope, that's what I watch.
I'm telling you, it's crazy stuff. The Charlotte Speedway was a great event. I got to see a lot of pictures. And Hot Rods and Happy Hour even got an award at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yes, we did. It was crazy. I was up there, and I wasn't expecting
You know you're work. Good when you go to a car show and you don't have a car there, or you're not there and you still get an award.
Yeah, we were. I was.
And well, Covey was there to accept it.
Yeah, I was just riding around on the little scooter cricket thing, just cruising along, and all of a sudden...
It's so funny. We talk about old people, and he said, what are you doing? I'm just riding around on my chassis, you know.
But cruising around, and lo and behold, I run into Devin up there, and he's like, oh, I'm glad you're here. I seen you posting stuff about being up here. I was going to try to find you, but I got you and Rob and the guys something. I was like... You do? And he's like, yeah, come check this out. And
well, no, he's talking about Devin Moore from Carolina GM Association, which is a huge car club out of North Carolina. And they actually put on the Christmas for Kids car show at Hendrix Motorsports that Hot Rods and Happy Hour hosts every year.
Yep, and we were up there. Well, matter of fact, me and Rob and Breezy and Smitty went up there this past year and hosted it, and it was a great show. Huge turnout. Man, that is one of the – that was – probably one of my favorite shows towards the end of last year that we did. It was an awesome show.
It was. It's always a fun show. It's always painfully cold in the mornings, especially. That is the coldest I've ever been in my life at a car show. But these guys come out for a great cause. You know, they're buying Christmas presents for the kids at the Shriners Hospital, which is phenomenal. The Shriners have always been near and dear to my heart. And I love it. I love that event. I was honored for that award. So I want to thank Devin and all the guys at the Carolina GM Association for looking out for us.
Yeah, when he gave us that award, I was like, I was kind of took back. I was like, wow, that is really cool. So like I told Rob, I texted him, sent him a picture of it. I said, we're going to have to hang that on the inside the trailer.
That's right.
So everybody can see it.
That's
it
going up right up there with a diploma.
That's
right. You know, I'm proud of that thing.
That is a diploma.
I'm telling you. You know, that's going back to it. And I know I beat this one to death, but you know what? If one subject in the world can be beat to death, you know, so many people in the world got their hand out and wanting something. And, you know, there's a lot of great causes out there. And, you know I preach nonstop about supporting your local car shows and things like that. But I want to tell you, hands down, there's nothing more rewarding than helping a cause like that. And you seeing them load up this big trailer full of toys and stuff and seeing those kids' faces, I absolutely love it. That's literally, I would pay to do it.
You know, when we were on stage up there at that show, that I wouldn't even call her a little girl. She was in her, probably early 20s that was in the wheelchair, and she's fought every disease known to man ever since she was born, and she was still up there, and she talked, and as a grown man, I started crying on stage, because, I mean,
you don't have a heart if it doesn't affect you like
and,
that.
You know, and like us being up there, you know, auctioning off all them, all the stuff for the to raise money for them.
Yeah, we actually did a live auction in front of the entire audience of the show. I mean, there's probably 1,000, 1,500 people in the auditorium at Hendrix Motorsports. And we were up on stage doing this auction. And I mean, you know, NASCAR memorabilia and all the big liquor companies stepped up. And we had all these neat prizes and custom painted stuff and things. And we're auctioning this stuff off. And you can ask Kobe, I grabbed a wireless mic. I'd walk out in the crowd. I mean, either you're going to bid or I'm going to embarrass you. Yeah, one of the two.
He was running up bids on people that didn't even want to bid. I mean, he was making a bid.
Like it or not, if you make me start patting pockets for money, it's over with.
It was good. That was a great show. I can't wait to do it again this year.
I really can't. I always look forward to that show. And it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving.
That is always something I look forward to in November. You know, it's so funny that, you know, you would think car show season would be over with, you know, that time of year. And it's really getting fired up for us. I mean, because, I mean, we got SEMA the very first week of November, and then we got a week off, and then we go to the Hendrick Show, and then you got the Turkey Rod Run the next week in Daytona.
Turkey Rod Run the weekend after, yep.
I'm telling you, I love it. I tell you what I don't love is these commercial breaks.
Wow, we already went through that first statement quick.
Already, guys, stay tuned. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about muscle cars then and now, right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitch, your automotive host with the most. And, of course, we've got Smitty. Mm-hmm. Every time that's going to get me. I get so used to it. And then we don't have the professor here because they're out sick. So Smitty, Breezy, and the professor are not tardy. They're not present.
No, they're absent.
Yeah, they're absent. But, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
So it's back to the Kobe and Rob show.
Back to the Kobe and Rob show.
So, you know, we're talking about muscle cars. But now speaking of car shows, though, before we get to this, you've got a really important car show for a great cause coming up.
Yes, I do. I belong to local car show here in Travelers Rest, Greenville, all around and whatnot. It's called Memory Lane Cruisers. Well, every year for the last 6 years, we've been hosting a car show called Memory Lane. And this is our sixth annual one. And what we do is we raise canned goods and for the Greenville Food Pantry besides donations for the homeless. We raise money for the homeless week because every week we go out and feed roughly about 400 homeless people a week. And, you know, doing that and all them sandwiches and all the food, it takes up a lot of food and a lot of money. So every year we try to raise a whole bunch of canned goods and a whole bunch of money for both of them. And this cause here that we do every year, you can look around a lot of your places. We have flyers, and it's on the internet. It's under my Facebook page and Hot Rods and Happy Hours page. But anyways, it's on April 27th this year. It's at 145 Clearview Road in Travelers Rest. And all we ask is you bring a bag of canned goods or a box of canned goods, and that gets you in. We're going to have top 24 awards given away, 20 top 20, plus 4 specialty awards. We have barbecue plates available, live music by me, and it's just a great time. Bring a lawn chair, a tent, hang out underneath shade trees, fellowship. It's just a good old time.
It's a good time for a great cause.
And it don't cost anything. That's the key, other than a little bit of food that you have in your pantry.
Some pork and beans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you got them in your pantry. Everybody grab some stuff out of your pantry. Come hang out. And it ain't just to old hot rods. It motorcycles, new cars. If you want to bring a boat. I don't care.
Just as long as you don't try to fire it up.
Exactly, because we don't have no water out there. We don't have no lake. But come on out, hang out. It's going to be a great time.
That is a great time. So, you know, we were talking about muscle cars, and this kind of hit me this weekend, and I've seen it a lot, but you know, so the Back to Basics Misperception Meet, you know, obviously, you know, it's an import show, but you have a lot of the younger kids there with, of course, the newer muscle cars, which this is a pet peeve of mine anyway. You know, they call the new Challengers and the, you know, the new Mustangs and the new Camaros muscle cars, which are really pony cars, but we'll let that slide just for demonstration purposes and keep the show rolling. But, you know, these new muscle cars and, you know, it's kind of like muscle cars have lost its meaning that title has. You know, I mean, and muscle cars are before mine and really kind of before Kobe's time too. But we're old enough to know how they were.
Exactly.
You know, either by owning them or being around them or whatnot. But this is the thing. You know, muscle cars, the original muscle cars were intermediate cars. So a smaller car with a bigger engine.
Exactly.
And as a rule, they were plain Jane, bare bones. Now, you had some examples that were a little more extravagant than others. And then through the years, in the later years of the muscle car craze, they started becoming more and more loaded. You started seeing some of your Chryslers, like the GTXs and things like that. Or your Oldsmobiles were very, very loaded out muscle cars. But as a rule, they were all business. It wasn't options. It was horsepower.
It was more horsepower. That's what it was. You take bare bones car, you put the biggest motor you could possibly put in it, And that's your muscle car.
Exactly. And I mean, and the only options that it had supported the muscle car thing, whether it be, you know, a bigger rear axle or heavy-duty front suspension or heavy-duty cooling or something along those lines.
Or her shifter or something.
Exactly. These were the things. I mean, it wasn't, you know, heated seats.
Yeah, heated seats and all that
You're
stuff.
You're lucky it had seats.
Exactly. Bare bone, normally, I mean, spring riding up your butt bucket seats. I mean, that's what you had.
Or what are you talking about? I don't have paddle shifters?
Yeah.
No, you had a shifter. That's it.
A T-handle.
Or if you had a Chrysler, you might have even had a push button shifter. Now, that's high tech.
Yeah, that is.
Cable operated push buttons. But these things, drag racers loved them.
Oh, yeah.
They just rev it up and say, let's go now, and push the button.
And you were gone.
And it was cable operated. How crazy is that?
It is crazy.
Very, very crazy. And very neat. If you ever see one, like, and I think it was like a lot of your early 60s Chryslers. Yep. And all the way to about 64, I think. I'm not. I wish the professor was here. He'd run off the part numbers for them. But the exact models they were in. But, you know, these things were so hot with drag racers. So if you had an automatic, but it didn't have a shifter, it was just had these four buttons on the dash.
I was in my teens the first time I seen one of them, and a friend of mine, Josh, his dad got one, or had one, and his dad, we were in his shop working or whatever. His dad's like, oh, move the car out of the way, and I get in it, and I sit down and barely had a driver's license, you know, and I look down for the shifter, and it wasn't there. I look up on the column, it's not there. I'm like, what in the world's going on? And then he started laughing. He said, it's on the dash. And, you know, you just got the buttons. And I was like, how does this work? And he's like, push the button. I'm like, oh, okay. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, but these buttons, these things are like the buttons like on an old school radio. Like you push them like click,
yep,
click, click. You know, it's a, that's definitely different. It's definitely different. But that's the thing. Like muscle cars, I feel, have lost their bare bones. And then, you know, because me and the professor was talking about this before he got swamp fever. And, you know, he's like, well, you kind of had the demon. You know, like that was kind of like the muscle car. But it isn't. This thing still has traction control and ABS brakes and all of these features. To me, the closest new car to a muscle car would be like a Copo Camaro or one of the body in white cars or something like that.
Yeah, I would say the Copo Camaro is probably, to me, the closest to original
or
muscle
car. Or the Cobra Jet Mustangs, you know, the factory drag cars.
Yep.
Is the closest to a real muscle car because they weren't equipped, no airbags or nothing, which I understand you had to have that because of government guidelines. But, I mean, like the, you know, and we'll go and get into this in this next segment. But, I mean, just some of the gadgetry that's in these cars, I mean, there's no way these things will be around for 50 years.
No.
I can't see it, you know, and systems still being supported and stuff, the way technology changes. I mean, this stuff's going to be so out of date so fast, you know, but I don't know. It's funny to me how, you know, I got a new muscle car. Yeah, kind of, you know. And
you got a name.
No, you got a pony car.
You got a name.
Exactly, with a name. And I think that's a lot of it, you know, but I don't know. I think this is going to be a good subject. We may hurt some feelings, but hey, what's new? You make an omelet, you crack some eggs.
That's right.
Guys, stay tuned. We're talking muscle cars then and now right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts, your automotive host with the most. And, of course, absent again is Smitty and Breezy, our Hot Rod happy couple. And they're sick together at the same time. How convenient.
Yeah. Richard, same way.
And then the professor is sick, too. But, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy, our legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Mr. Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone? I'm going to give a shout-out to Richard in Berea,
yeah, exactly.
South Carolina.
I would like to give a shout-out to the professor himself in his hometown of Berea, South Carolina. Yeah, I mean, holding it down in the Shamrock Acres. You know, that's where you can send the flowers and nurses and all that because apparently he is dying.
Yes.
I actually checked on him over the last break. I sent him a text, and it's like, we miss you, bud. He's like, over text.
Yeah, he's.
I wasn't even aware how you spelt that till I got it.
He would know. He would know.
Yeah, his texts even sound bad. So we're talking about the muscle cars and the new muscle cars. Muscle cars then and now. And that's the thing. Like, I think they are fast cars. I'm not knocking them. I mean, the Coyotes and the LS Power and the Hemis and everything and the Eco Whatevers and whatever, yo. Whatever's hot this week. Yo, they're fast. Super fast.
And I understand the whole theory behind them because they're very reliable, too. I mean...
And fuel mileage.
Yeah, the fuel mileage is great. I mean, I guess...
But it's almost got a little too much. I mean, you keep in mind, the first muscle cars rolled in 64, 65. This was the beginning of the muscle car age. And, I mean, everybody's got a different date when it started. Some people think it started with the Dodges in the late 50s. But for me, the muscle car started, you know, 64, 65, when the GTOs and Chevelles and you know, your big block Mopars and things like that started rolling in, your 413 Dodges and stuff. That, to me, is when the muscle car era started. Now... You know, so now the new muscle cars are in, and, you know, they're loaded out with all these creature comforts, but it's not even that. I mean, these things are, they've got more buttons in them than a fighter jet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so we're back to basics, and I told you I was going to pick on the Mustang guys, because I'm an equal opportunity offender here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour, but this is the thing. So we're back to basics, and this kid comes rolling up, and I can say that now, because I'm almost 40, so I can call these kids, but this kid rolls up, and he's early 20-something. He pulls up in his nice late model Mustang. It's a good looking car. It's 5-liter Coyote and got some nice exhaust on it and all this stuff. And you know, whatever the bolt ons they got on it. And he pulls up to the burnout contest. I'm hearing my mic and I'm walking up. I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And he's like, hey, you know. And next thing you know, it looks like he's playing a video game on his steering wheel. And I'm like, hey, buddy, you need to concentrate on the burnout, you know, not your little Xbox or what you got there. No, he's setting his line lock, turning his traction control off. You know, I'm like, you know, adjusting the mode of the suspension all by his steering wheel in his Mustang. And this is the thing. You know, he's scrolling through stuff and pushing buttons. And, I mean, it looks like, okay, I grew up with Atari. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and for y'all to break it down, Atari, the sound is what made it. But you know, imagine a black screen with two white flat panels on each end going up and down and a ball between them.
That's it.
Boomp. 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 That was high tech. This guy, keep in mind, we're talking muscle cars, you know, coming out in the 60s, in the mid-60s. This is before we put a man on the moon. If they had this technology in the 60s, I mean, we would be doing some wild stuff. But, I mean, it blows my mind. And he's pushing these buttons, and he does this horrendous burnout with it, and does a good burnout. You know, but I'm thinking, like, man, I mean, like, you know, and then you start looking at the options on these cars. There's no such thing as a base car anymore. Like, you know, just the plainest car. Like, even back in when I was in high school, you know, you could still get, you know, roll-up windows and, you know, AC delete still, you know. I mean, and that, but now that's just, I mean, there's no such. Well, like, it's either cloth or leather. Take your pick.
Well, think about this. Even when we started driving in the 90s, an automatic was a luxury vehicle.
Yeah, but automatic costs more than the manual transmission.
Now you have to order a manual transmission because everything is automatic. And it's totally reversed.
But I got paddle shifters, yo.
I know, but I mean, you know, it's just crazy.
And then you've got, and the Camaro guys and the Chrysler guys are right behind the Mustang guys. I mean, they're just as bad. And I'm just using the Mustang. But you think of how the Mustang started. And I think it hit me really hard because we're restoring one at the shop right now. You know, and you know, a 65 GT Mustang. And this was this guy's first car. A 289 GT Mustang. So in 1965, I'm not saying this was a muscle car because it's a pony car, but it was still a pretty wicked little car for what it was. 4-speed, 289.
They were fast.
And there again, like I said, if we had the professor here, he would tell us how many they made in Candy Apple Red. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a sharp car. But look at it now. Look what a Mustang GT is now. A Mustang GT is like... I mean, it's
Air Force One.
Exact compared to this. and I mean it's like a stealth bomber compared to a paper airplane. And I mean just the technology that's in it, and ABS braking systems, and Lord forbid getting supplemental restraints. And I mean, like, literally, if your grandmother doesn't have her seatbelt on across town in her Crown Victoria, a light comes on in the dash. I mean, this thing has buttons for buttons. It has buttons for buttons.
Yeah, it does. And the thing of it is, too, I think, like, with them cars there, when the whole, to me, I do. I love Gig Gadgets, but I just think a car with cool features can go overboard, and some of these have. And I understand where all the dealerships are coming from, because they want everybody to have all the creature comforts and technology, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, his tooth, YouTube, all that stuff in your car. But at the same time, I think a muscle car needs – and like Richard was saying, I think they kind of need to go back to some of the basics. And I think Ford, according to what Richard was sending us a text the other day
– yeah, they're coming out with a bare bones – well, a barer bones GT.
Yes, and I think that'll be a pretty cool car.
If they do it. If it's like they really say it. And when they say bare bones, that means it doesn't have a heated and cool steering wheel. Those barbarians, how do they drive?
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, in the mid-60s, you could order a car without a damn steering wheel. I mean, it was just...
That is true.
I mean, these things are... I mean, some of these options are insane on them. You know, all the traction controls it always tickles me, because you always have a young guy at these events, you know, they try to do a burnout, the traction controls on, it shuts it down. And I'm like, you know, that would have happened in the 60s. You stalled it out in the 60s. You know what your traction control was in the 60s? It was in your right foot.
Exactly. Your gas pedal.
Exactly. You know what your launch control was? It was in your left foot on the clutch pedal. You know what your line lock was? It was in between your left foot and the clutch pedal, holding the brake and the clutch at the same time. That was line lock.
That's it.
You know, and that's the thing. Like these kids don't understand that. And it is so funny how it's changing, you know. I mean, and it's, I don't know, it's like I took my apprentice for a ride in my Chevelle. And I took him up the road and going through the gears in it. And just the way he was looking at me, and I never really got it till now. Because if you see somebody even driving a new manual transmission car, it's nothing like a 4-speed muscle car.
No, the throw is like literally, you know, within an inch of each other, and there's zero play where, you know, back in the day when we learned how to drive.
I could smack the shifter and hit him in the knee with it.
Exactly. You had to move that thing around and guess where it went.
Exactly. You know, and that's, I don't know. And I mean, technology's come a long way, and fit and finish has definitely come a long way. But you know, I mean, it's just like it's lost some of its effect over the years. I mean, I don't want to describe it as soft, but it is soft. I mean, this is kind of like, I look at muscle cars today as like the play school, the cozy coupe version of a muscle car. You know what I mean? Because it's got airbags in it, and it's so safe. I mean, you know, you land on a cloud if you drove it off a cliff, and it's got restraint systems for restraint systems, and it's got, you know, radar scanning meters on the front of it so you don't run into things, even Mustangs, which is insane because it still runs over people, but still. And I mean, you know, it's got backup cameras. And then we're not talking about a Winnebago. We're talking about a Mustang.
Well, that's like that new Mustang. If you put it in reverse, the backup camera, and it does have a cool backup camera because it actually does a 3D scan above your car from a satellite in the sky. I mean, it shows.
And we're not talking about Lincolns here. We're not talking about BMWs or Mercedes. We're talking about a Ford Mustang. I'm telling you, it's nuts.
I know it is. And you know what's even nuts? We're already working on another commercial.
Well, I'm telling you, man. We got to pay the bills. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking about muscle cars then and now, right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. It's Rob Bitch, your automotive host with the most. And then, of course, we got Smitty and Breezy isn't here, and the professor's not either.
Nope. We're going to take him some NyQuil and some Advil, cold, and sinus. We're going to take them everything.
I'm telling you. You know, I know our intro music's Wild Side by Motley Crue. Maybe we need to play Dr. Feelgood for everybody. Killing me, guys. But anyway, we got Kobe, Hot Rods and Happy Hour Legal Counsel / all-around cool car guy in the studio.
What's going on, everyone?
So now, we're talking about muscle cars then and now and how they've changed. You know, they came from such meager beginnings. Like, I mean, they were, I mean, just bare-bones cars. To now, these things are like luxury and technology, just marvels. Now, you saw an interesting one at an auto fair.
Yes, I did.
Now, this is a reverse of it. It was a 70 Chevelle, but now this thing had been modded like no other.
It was modded like no other. You might as well say take a 70 Chevelle body, even though, yeah, it did have like an Art Morrison chassis and stuff like that, LS3 in it. I mean, just done up to the gills. It had, even on the, like, the big sign there, I read it for like 30 minutes because it was so much into detail. It had heated steering wheel, air conditioned heated seats, paddle shifting on it.
I mean, do you realize a 70 Chevelle with factory air that worked was like a big thing?
Yeah.
And now we've got, I've got to have my heated and cooled seats.
Not only was it the front seats, it was the back seat as well.
Do you realize my LTZ Silverado doesn't have heated rear seats?
I know. I mean, the brand new 2020 Denali's barely just come out with it, and this 70 Chevelle has it.
That blows my mind.
With paddle shift, and I mean, this car was immaculate. It was beautiful. But I was like, who took all the time and all the money to take a 70 Chevelle and make it into a 2020 Denali?
Yeah, and I mean, this is my thing. I love it. 70 Chevelle, that's probably one of the most iconic muscle cars of all time. Ford, Chrysler, Chevrolet, got no matter what. 70 Chevelle is that pinnacle car. That's Chevrolet's Hemi Cuda. I will give them that. A real Hemi Cuda.
Yes, Hemi.
Not a new Hemi, the real Hemi. But, you know, a 70 Chevelle is that iconic muscle car. Like a 32 Ford is that iconic hot rod. Like a 57 Chevrolet is just 50s iconic.
Yep.
That 70 Chevelle is that iconic muscle car.
Of the 70s.
You know, 454, LS6, 450 horsepower. I mean, these cars were the kings of the muscle car era. And now they've built this.
Yes. And
this is my thing with it. All right. Now imagine if that was, and I would say it probably didn't start life as a 454 SS. I'm sure it was probably just a Malibu or whatever. But if it was the LS6 Chevelle, concourse, I mean, the same condition as this car, and this was a show car. I mean, that's a $70,000, $80,000 muscle car that the value is always going to be there. Now, you built this car, and it's great. It's so cool. You know, you got heated seats, and you can tell everybody all about it. And on a cold day, it'll keep your coffee cup warm in the cup holder. And you know, or you can sit it between your legs when you're driving down the road. I don't even know. But maybe it makes coffee. Maybe, hell, maybe it's got a Keurig in it. I don't know.
It might have. I don't know.
It's got a 110 plug, so we can plug one in if we needed to.
Exactly.
But you see where I'm getting at. How about 10 years from now? That car is going to be the biggest nightmare for somebody.
I'm with you. I don't think that car, I know he probably had just a build on it well into the six figures. I'm saying probably $150,000, $200,000 wrapped up in this car. I mean, it was that nice. Right now, that car ain't a $150,000, $200,000 car. Imagine in 5 years, 10 years. I mean, that's a... How do you justify spending that kind of money?
There's no return on your investment with that. And then, you know, and I tell people this, you know, all the time. You build a car timeless. And, you know, you have to understand that the fads come and go. But, you know, there's some things that don't come and go. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you build a car any way you like it. You know, if you want to paint it lime green with pink polka dots on it, if that's your thing, if you like it, I love it. But when you're building a car and you want to be that guy that gets at least half your money out of it, you've got to build the car timeless. And the things, you know, there's small things that you can change on a car, wheels and tires,
yep.
Maybe even a paint color. But when you start doing modifications like this, there's no return.
It's completely custom to you.
Exactly. You built a car, and I'll be honest with you, and we've got the perfect example that's sitting in my shop right now. You know, we've got this really nice C1 Vette that is absolutely gorgeous. And you're like, man, that's a good-looking little car. And it's been modded, and it's got a trick little chassis under it. And you open the hood, and guess what kind of motor it's got in it? It's got a tuned port injection, like an 88 L98 Corvette motor in it. And this is my thing. Well, as soon as you open the hood, man, is it 1989 all over again?
That's when it was built.
But exactly. It tells a timeline on the car. You might as well write the date on the side of it. And to me, that kills it. And you see so many people building these cars now with LSs, and I know it's crazy. Guess what, kids? LSs won't be around forever. And that's the thing about building these cars that you have to be so careful about. And these are the same people that also lose their butt on these cars. Like all these big pro touring cars that went through Barrett Jackson that brought all this crazy money. 10 years from now, those were outdated cars. You know, you remember all the street rods we make fun of? You know, the pastel colored street rods with the 15-inch and the 14 and 15-inch staggered billet wheels and the tweed and tier and all the brushed billet aluminum that we make fun of today? Guess what?
They were them.
In 1995, that was some pretty hot crap back in the day.
Yep.
And that was ahead of the curve.
Yep.
Now you make fun of it.
That's what you have right now.
Exactly. You have the future version of that.
Yep.
And then that's what I try to tell people. I've been in this hobby long enough to see a whole fad trend come in, go out, and I'll be damned if it's starting to come back.
You're exactly right.
That's the thing that blows my mind. I'll give you another example. One of my favorites is colors. Colors tell a story on a car. And, if you want to paint a car your favorite color, and your favorite color is teal green, dark teal green, you know what? Paint it dark teal green. But I'm going to tell you something else that's probably your favorite. It's something in that mid-90s range, because that color was on everything in the 90s. And that's going to right there tell a story on. Or your purple, same story with the same era right there. Those colors are like the burnt orange colors. That's mid-2000s. I mean, it just tells that story. The yellows, 2000, 2001. I mean, those colors just scream dated.
That's what's so crazy. Like you're talking about colors. Now, when you get into them colors, like up at the auto fair, and I keep saying this because I just left there, and, you know, that's like a mecca. That's almost like a SEMA for North Carolina. I mean, it's insane how many cars and stuff are there. But you see all even these new builds or old builds, the new builds are starting to go back to some of the 90s colors. And, like, there was a couple C10s I seen up there. One was a pastel green color. It looked good, but I was like, wow, he went all the way back to the 90s with that. You know, and then there was a 40 Ford up there. You could tell it was built in the 90s. It was pastel.
But, you know, and that's the thing that's funny about these cars is my dad, I'll never forget, my dad's pride and joy in the 90s. It was a 1940 Chevy coupe he built. And it was his pride and joy. Like, we built this car together. This was one of the true father-son moments I had with my dad in the garage is building this car. And we built an absolutely gorgeous street rod. And we actually won a lot of big shows with this car. And it was a beautiful car. And it's still riding around to this day. But I want to tell you something. It had 14, 15-inch staggered billet specialty wheels on it. Everything was brushed aluminum on the inside. Green tweed, like a pastel green and white tweed interior in it with white leather inserts in the seats. But we thought it was so cool. And it was that winter mint pastel green. It was PPG winter mint green is the name of the color. And my dad, when we got that car, oh, man, that is so modern. That is so different. And now if you look at that, so 1995. I tell you what else we do. We so got to take a commercial break.
Wow, that came up quick.
Every time, guys, I tell you what, stay tuned. We're talking about muscle cars then and now.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.